At U.S. Bank, when we say we're in it with you, we mean it. Not just for the good stuff, the grand openings and celebrations, although those are pretty great, but for all the hard work it took to get there, the fine-tuning of goals, the managing of cash and workflows, and decision-making. We're in to help you through all of it. Because together, we're proving day in and day out that there is nothing as powerful as the power of us. Visit usbank.com to get started today. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC. Copyright 2024 U.S. Bank.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
I'm Oprah Winfrey. Welcome to Super Soul Conversations, the podcast. I believe that one of the most valuable gifts you can give yourself is time, taking time to be more fully present. Your journey to become more inspired and connected to the deeper world around us starts right now.
She's pulling up right now, Neil.
I'm worried that Oprah has been to, like, Richard Branson's home. We live in a suburban two-story in the San Fernando Valley.
Well, you know what?
She's gonna be like, where's the other wing?
I actually made it.
Here she comes.
Let's start with the baby carriages.
Oh my God, Oprah Winfrey's in our driveway.
Oh my gosh, imagine if this were my life.
We're just standing at the doorway. Should we be doing something?
We
look like we're
creepy.
I should be
putting a cheese plate together.
I should be hammering something into something else.
Woohoo, woohoo, woohoo. Knock, knock.
Hi!
How are you?
How are you? How are you? How are you? Hi, David.
Nice to see you.
How are you?
Good to see you.
No, just looking at the twin carriages, I was like, imagine if that was my life.
Oh my gosh. Please come in.
Come on in.
I'm so excited we get to take our shoes off. I'm going to.
You like a barefoot.
Yeah, I love a barefoot life. My kind of life.
These are our pups.
This is a cute guy. Is that a
He's a doodle? Rescue dog, like a Labradoodle-ish Wheaton Terrier,
we think.
Okay.
Welcome.
Hey.
Thank you so much.
It's like a regular neighborhood. Like with neighbors.
Yeah.
And people.
Well, I grew up in New Mexico, and David grew up in Michigan, and it was all sort of, it wasn't the Hollywood lifestyle.
Neil Patrick Harris lived in a small town with his parents and older brother. In elementary school, he caught the acting bug. Neil was at drama camp when he was discovered by a Hollywood screenwriter. A year later, he landed Doogie, the role that made him famous. In his 20s, Neil took to the stage with critically acclaimed performances in Cabaret, in Rent, and Proof. He was starring on Broadway when he met and fell in love with actor David Burka, who was performing in Gypsy.
Here, come in. About your stuff
here,
and your
give it a shot.
Here. Yes.
The whole house is baby-proofed.
Baby-proofed.
Everywhere.
Oh, love the cars.
Thank you. This is our living room.
Living room here.
I love the living room. I love the art. I love the piano.
Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, we love art. We've been collecting contemporary art for a long time.
Very nice,
guys. This is the dining room.
Very nice. This is very inviting and warm. And
it's rather smaller, so it feels cozy in here. And we entertain a lot.
Oh my gosh, it's the heartbeat of the house.
Right? This is what sold it for us.
This is a great one.
This is it. I mean, I spend so much time here, and I ran a catering company.
Because you've been chefing for how long? When did you go to the Cordon Bleu?
I went to Le Cordon Bleu about 4.5 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
David Burka is a stage and television actor. 2 years ago, he enrolled at Le Cordon Bleu. That's the prestigious culinary art school. He later opened a successful catering company. Today, he's a correspondent for E! News.
I heard you make the babies scrambled eggs with ricotta cheese, which I've never done in basil. I'm going to try that myself.
You know, they do get a nice breakfast in the morning.
Scrambled eggs with ricotta. I was thinking, oh, gee, ricotta. I haven't tried that
one. We read a book that said that kids could eat spices and all kinds of things at a much younger age than most people
I thought they couldn't even taste things.
It debunked the whole theory of flavor.
Really?
You know, I was making curried carrots for them and zucchini, peas with mints, and zucchini with the herbs of Provence, and they have such a palate now.
Herbs of Provence,
he just throws that down like it's Giada. Fantastic, well done.
I love that.
When we were looking at houses, this was our, like, this was the room that we thought, this is where you'll stay most of the time.
Oh, this is great, I love this room. I love the whole house.
How about the fridge?
I just wanted to
recognize it, because I paid a ton for it.
This is
baby-proof.
This is a nice one. Wow.
Baby-proofing. Baby-proof. That's baby-proofing everywhere.
So they can't do
so
this.
So we put these on, right?
You can't do this. These on?
Literally 2 weeks after we put them on, Gideon walks up and goes like this.
And takes it
and
out.
And powder room.
Powder room. Nice one.
Thank you.
What does a therapist do when her family is the one who needs a little help? Seek therapy, of course. Don't miss the new season of the Hulu comedy, Unprisoned, starring Kerry Washington and Delroy Lindo. With a father out of prison, a son with growing anxiety, and a therapy practice in serious trouble, Kerry Washington's Paige needs to pull her family back together by any means necessary. Get ready for a new season of raw comedy and heartfelt connection on Unprisoned. All episodes are now streaming only on Hulu.
Neil and David took me upstairs to see the twins' nursery.
This is where they sleep.
Oh my gosh, I wanted a teepee. Oh my gosh.
They love it.
They
love jump it. Through it like they're acrobats. They each have their own closet.
How cool.
They love to read, which is fantastic.
Because you've been doing that since the beginning, right?
Yeah,
they love books. She's obsessed. She'll sit there.
Should be. Her name's Harper.
Well said.
Yeah, we have a clock that says To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh,
it's a clock,
nice.
And Harper
they actually took a book and turned it into a clock.
Really?
Yep.
This was a
sleeping.
An old cover.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And so they just took the actual book.
I think it's my favorite book of all time. I fluctuate between To Kill a Mockingbird and Bluest Eye.
We always end each night with the book Good Night Moon.
Of course.
And that's the last book that we read. And then we say goodnight to all the people that are in our lives. You know,
really?
Goodnight, Gideon, goodnight, Harper.
When I heard that,
Daddy, goodnight, Papa, goodnight.
Because you're Daddy and your Papa?
Yep. Yeah.
Your Daddy and your Papa. And so then I heard you say goodnight to whoever was in their life today. So will you say goodnight, Oprah?
Sure.
Yeah.
Will you do goodnight, Oprah, tonight?
Absolutely.
You got it.
Goodnight, Oprah. Goodnight, Moon.
Goodnight, Oprah.
Goodnight, Moon.
We'll end with goodnight, Oprah, just for you.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you.
There's one other room.
Okay.
That is my office. Okay. That's hidden behind.
What?
This is my... I used to have magic everywhere, and David would get mad at me, so he forced all of my magic to be in one room. So this is like my...
Is this your real magic room?
Yeah, my magic man cave. But yeah, I collect stuff from...
You've been doing magic for how long?
Oh gosh, since I was 6 or 7 years old.
You did magic on the Johnny Carson show.
I did magic with Johnny.
Wait, how old?
That was right when Doogie started, so 15.
Okay, I want to go see the children.
Neil Patrick Harris is one of the busiest actors in Hollywood. When he isn't hosting a big award show, shooting a film, or starring on the hit comedy How I Met Your Mother, he's at home in his backyard.
This is the life. Where's Oprah?
Neil and his fiance, actor, chef, and e-correspondent David Burtka share this lovely home in suburban Los Angeles with their 19-month-old twins, Harper and Gideon. I spent a laid-back summer afternoon chatting barefoot with America's most famous real-life modern family.
Babies are over here.
Are they learning to swim?
They love to swim. They're taking swim classes.
Hey, you.
Hey.
This is Claire, our nanny.
Hi, Claire.
What do you have there?
You want to come to me? What's on your face?
Sorry.
Are you putting dirt in your mouth?
Hi, bud.
Hi, Harper.
This is Oprah Winfrey.
Hi, Harper. Hi, Gideon. Hi. Look at those blue eyes.
Right?
Yeah. Did you know the surrogate at all?
We knew the
surrogate. We didn't know the egg donor.
Didn't know the egg donor.
The donor's anonymous.
Yeah. Okay. But we read extensive history on...
On the donor.
Medical and...
Well, on both of them, really.
So the surrogate was not the donor.
Correct.
No, she was more like the oven.
She was the oven. Yeah. That's incredible. So there was sperm.
Yeah.
Two eggs, two embryos. One of mine, one of his.
Yes.
And two took.
Yeah, we lucked out, boy.
Boy, that is.
And they're super healthy and they're happy and
they really?
Your hair
clipping. Not in there. No, no, no.
No,
oh boy.
No.
Oh my gosh. Do you worry with a pool here?
Well, we have a net usually, and it goes over the pool.
Okay.
And they don't.
That's good to say, because I mean, I'm thinking, oh my God, you can never have a door open. You can have to, all the time.
Yeah.
You have to be watching. So you normally, if we weren't here with cameras, you would have a net.
We have a net over the jacuzzi and the pool.
Do you want to go down the slide?
Yay, let's do that.
We just want to dance. We just want to dance.
That's great, guys.
Nice job.
Nice job.
Yeah.
Airplane.
Now you want to go on the
slide? So I heard the first year, you put them to bed, you were there when they woke up.
Yeah.
You just...
The whole year.
You didn't sleep.
Didn't sleep, but you know what? We did have help to help us sort of train them in sleeping. But after 5 months, they were great. But yeah, the first year I was the stay-at-home dad.
All the time.
All the time.
Turn around.
All right, let's be gentle.
Did you ever...
Turn around.
Was it exciting for you? Was it... Did you get exhausted? Oh! Yay! You did it!
It was exhausting, yeah, but it was also what I dreamed of. You know, it's what I feel like I do best.
Did you always know that this was going to happen for you? You always did.
Definitely.
Like how old when you knew?
I've always loved kids. At what age? Teenage years?
That you thought that this was going to happen for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I really realized what a family was,
yeah.
I have a really close, tight-knit family. We all get along and
your parents were together 40 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Till your mom died.
Yeah. Yeah. Still in love, you know, till the day she died. Yeah. And Neil's parents, too. I mean, they're together as well.
43 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That is amazing to have that as role models.
It has certainly defined our sense of relationship and certainly holds us to this really interesting pinnacle, you know?
When did you all decide that children, because you'd been dating, you'd been together how long before you decided?
5, 6 years.
I heard you talk children on the first date.
Yeah, I told them that I would want kids. I mean, if you don't want kids, then
really,
it's not going to happen.
Yeah, this wouldn't have been a relationship. Yeah. Did you always want kids?
My situation was just so random in that, you know, I started going through puberty kind of on camra as Doogie.
Yeah,
I just always thought I would be alone. Like, I just always assumed that I wouldn't be able, given the circumstances of my world, to like go to bars and meet people and go on dates and. Mm-hmm. It took me a while to figure out sort of how I fit in my own skin.
Yeah.
And so I just never, I always just assumed that I would be alone.
Really?
Not in a sad, like, wah-wah way, but I just was a very, you know, I would go on location to Vancouver for 4 weeks and film something and then go back home. I was just a very self-sufficient individual.
Yeah.
So I just assumed
that. As that life would make you.
Yeah. I just assumed that a relationship wasn't going to be in the cards.
Let's go sit down, because we have to watch kids. Yeah,
good.
You're watching kids, I'm watching kids.
We'll have Claire put the kids down for their nap. It's actually almost time for their nap.
Okay, cool.
So she can put them down.
I hear they're on a regular, regimented schedule.
Very, very tight schedule.
It's really?
By like month 3 or 4, they were sleeping all night, and they sleep 7 to 7 every single day. And now they're down to 1 3-hour nap. And they pretty much sleep 2.5, 3 hours.
That's your time.
Yeah.
So their schedule is up at 7 no matter what, right?
Up at 7, yeah, pretty much, like clockwork.
They want to sleep till 8.
They're welcome, too. We're not going to wake them. Babies just crave structure, at least ours seem to.
Uh-huh.
And so that idea that, you know, it is always the same, there is comfortable to them.
So you just have one
nanny. I hate to talk like an expert about babies, because it seems like every baby is so different and every parent is so different.
That
every
is true,
situation
though.
Is so different. Yes, so we have one nanny.
One nanny. And then she goes home in the evening, or she stays?
Oh, yeah. She comes in right before I go to work, and I go to work. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I get home, bye-bye. I want to be the first person they see in the morning and the last person they see at night.
So who changes more diapers here?
You do. I'm good at it, but if I can get out of it, I will.
Neil's schedule is pretty insane. Kids are going in. The kids are going in.
Let's go sit down.
2 years ago, Time magazine named Neil Patrick Harris one of the 100 most influential people in the world. The article said, the public's perception of gay men is shifting because of this guy.
Well, welcome to our barefooted interview.
I know, look at this.
I think this is the first time I've ever done an interview completely barefooted, and certainly we're
the interviewees were also barefooted.
Thank you.
My kind of talking.
I know, it's nice.
Not my kind of talking. So what word do you all use?
Fiance, yeah. Usually, or...
Because you can't use the word husband.
I just think partner's the strangest word.
Yes?
Yeah.
Because I meet grown businessmen, and he's like, this is my partner, Jim. And I don't know if they're in business together
right.
Or if they're a gay couple,
or they're cowboys.
Yeah.
You stole my punchline. How dare you?
Did you ever, at any point, because I've read that you both have dated women, right?
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah?
Good times.
Good times.
Yeah.
were you, that's, explain that to me, because, you know, I have a gay friend who said that the only way you could have sex with a woman if a man's picture was on the headboard.
Wow. So. That's classy.
did you go out? Did you date?
I dated a fair amount. I didn't really feel like I'm a liar and I'm gay and I'm doing this and I wish I wasn't, but I did feel like it wasn't clicking like it was supposed to, and uh-huh. I kept wondering maybe it was me, was it...
By dating, I mean you actually, like, had sex with girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Oh, yeah. So did you think you were bisexual, or is there such a thing?
No, I think, you know, with the Kinsey scale, I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Of course I am. I've done the Oprah show. Hello.
The what?
Touché.
Wait a second here. No, but I think there is a ranging scale of sexuality.
Yes.
And I think you can go to one side or another.
So tell me, would you have come out when you came out had it not been for Perez Hilton?
Well, probably not at that specific day.
Yeah.
But I certainly felt it was an inevitability at that time.
In 2006, celebrity blogger Perez Hilton accused Neil of living in the closet and publicly tried to out him. In response, Neil released a simple statement saying he was a very content gay man and living life to the fullest.
We would go to How I Met Your Mother events together.
Right.
And everyone knew David and that we were a couple, so I wasn't hiding anything, but it was just never a big announcement that I was needing to make. However, I felt like at a certain point, red carpet things became complicated.
Because
I'd go down the red carpet. If I went down the red carpet and he didn't go with me, it looked like a slight to him.
Right.
And if we went down the red carpet together, then it looked like we were making some sort of announcement.
Uh-huh.
And so it just always felt a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know?
And isn't it interesting, once you actually came out, that was like a non-starter. Like, you're one of the few actors who's been able to come out and absolutely nothing happened to your career. Everybody's so afraid of making that announcement or letting people know.
Hmm.
When Neil announced he was gay, some Hollywood insiders thought his admission would ruin his career. Instead, ratings for How I Met Your Mother continued to climb, and Neil went on to win 2 Emmy Awards.
Were you affected at all?
I think only positively, honestly.
Yeah.
It allowed me to live more full body and not feel like I was going to be exposed. I was kind of exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And you asked about the Perez Hilton question earlier. And I think the reason that I made the statement when I did was because he was the catalyst. What he had done was posted a request for anyone that had ever any scandalous stories or had slept with me or whatever to come forward and talk about it so that it would out me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to have to make that statement about my sexuality in response to a scandal. And I think by doing so, I ended up being able to stand a little bit taller. And, you know, that transparency and authenticity was kind of appreciated. But no, I expected, like, the God Hates Fags guys on my front lawn the day after it happened, you know? Literally, I was, like, peering through my windows. And everyone was very indifferent about it.
Neil Patrick Harris says he knew he was gay at an early age, but he didn't tell his mom and dad until he was in his 20s. In their first television interview, we talked to Neil's parents, Sheila and Ron, about that time.
I was surprised. Not totally floored, not totally shocked, but it did come as a surprise to me. I think I was disappointed, sure.
I think it's just harder for dads. I just think dads have aspirations for their sons that are deep within them that they don't even realize that they have.
I don't understand a lot of things about the gay lifestyle. Is AIDS a problem? Is your son in danger? You just worry about things more because you don't understand, I think. You know, the more we learned about their relationship, about David, you can't help but become accepting. They're a good couple, just like heterosexual couples. I hope they do get married someday.
Yeah, I hope so too. I hope they are able to get married soon.
So what did your parents say when you told them that you wanted to have kids?
The impetus to have kids was because my mom passed away.
Really?
That's all she really wanted, was to be a grandma.
David came out to his parents when he was in college. Like Neil's father, David's father, Dan, told us it took some time to accept that his son was gay.
It's very difficult to think of your son in a relationship with a man. I come from a very strict Catholic background. I'm sure that going to a Catholic school for 13 years might have had something to do with the way I think. And it just took me a little while to pretty much put it into perspective and saying, God, was I stupid for even thinking like that?
Dan was married to David's mom, Debbie, for 40 years. In 2008, Debbie was diagnosed with leukemia. She died just 20 days after being diagnosed. Her grandchildren, Harper and Gideon, were born 2 years after her passing.
The one thing I regret most in my life is that his mother did not see where David's at right now with those two kids. She wanted a grandchild so bad, and she didn't get a chance to see it.
On the day Debbie died, her family, including David and Neil, were at her bedside.
And I can remember David, and when just the immediate family was there, and we were saying our last goodbyes. It's 4 years, and it's still hard. I remember him saying that he'll never see my kids. We're going to have kids, Ma, and you're never going to see our kids. And I remember putting my hands around Neil and telling him, Neil, I'm so glad you're here because I consider you to be my son-in-law. And I feel that way to this day. And I think that's kind of where maybe I realized how close they were and how close he was going to be to our family.
You know what's interesting? We talked to your dad, and he said that you two are doing better than most couples that he knows or has ever heard of. And he thinks that you two should be married and that you deserve to be married. Can you imagine that at this time in your life, your father is saying those words when years ago you didn't think that could happen?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So lucky, so fortunate. Mm-hmm.
So you've been very lucky that way. I think a lot of kids are raised, mm-hmm. you know, strongly in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. My dad was sort of kind of right in the middle. Mm-hmm. You know, he was raised conservative, military, Republican, so he wasn't like vocally dismissive of all of it, but he was very kind of let's wait and see mm-hmm. how it turns out.
Have you all thought about what you're going to tell Harper and Gideon about having two daddies and not two mommies, and the first time they come home and say, whoever their friend is, they have a mommy, why don't I?
Yeah, well, we're gonna tell them information. Like, I want them to have information, and I think the way that they were brought into this world was very unique and weirdly scientific, and the technology involved in it, I think, is remarkable. Mm-hmm. But it came because we really, really wanted kids.
Yes.
Like, we really had thought it through financially, emotionally, relationship-wise. Like, we didn't just accidentally get pregnant and decide that now we need to make this work.
Yeah.
Like, these kids come into our world with nothing but love.
I just had an aha moment that almost made me tear up there just a little bit. You know what? I just realized what you were saying. I had an aha moment.
Nice.
Because same-sex couples, in order to have a child, means you've really, 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 really got to do a lot of work to make that happen.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you're a same-sex couple that has a child, it means that child is so loved and so wanted. You just saying that just went bing, bing, bing. I never thought of it that way before.
I'm so glad that you took it that way. And we want to impart our wisdom and grow up with a family and have kids. And
is one of you more maternal?
That would be me.
Really?
For sure.
Really?
Yeah, I'm the more maternal.
Yes.
And yeah, I didn't love the first 6-9 months.
You didn't?
No. And I struggled with it a lot.
You did?
Like, in therapy with my own therapist.
I'm so happy to hear you admit that, because that is my... You know, I have godchildren. I'm like, I'll see them when they're two.
Well, that's just
bring
it.
Them
when
over
they're so
when
little
they're
and, they're, and they're just crying, then I just,
yeah.
I didn't know, I don't know what's wrong. And I try to soothe you and you're still crying. And I know that he's more maternal and is much more intuitive with that. And so I would pass off and then, you know, like fix the crib. Or like clean the dishes, or I'd do
or
my work.
Do a magic
trick. I wouldn't just vanish.
Yeah.
But I would like I would try to provide, but I didn't feel like I was bonding with them.
Oh, interesting.
Which was okay because I still feel like my strengths will come when it's like, Papa, let's build a fort.
Yeah.
Like I love forts. Let's do that. But I need to
when
know they that
they
want to build a fort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or tell me what's wrong, or have a conversation. I think that that's where my strengths will be more in the forefront. So I. You know.
Do you want more kids or is two enough?
Oh, don't start with this conversation.
Come on.
David?
I want a ton of kids.
It's a gaggle.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
But David, isn't two just perfect? You got the well, boy and the girl.
This is what I'm saying.
They're healthy.
One
it's
of each.
Two. It's one of each. You can have one. You can have one. You can keep your eye on two.
I was told you're not really a family until your kids outnumber you.
Oh, my goodness. You need to take that out of your head. That's just something you told yourself or somebody told
In
you.
In all of our copious free time, we'll have more children.
But you guys really are the modern family. You really are the modern family.
We're the new nuclear family.
We put the new in nuclear.
Okay, so tell me how difficult is this? You know, a lot of marriages, be they Hollywood or not, with artists, there's conflict when one person is more famous than the other. Hello, Mr. Garbage Trucks out there. But we're in the neighborhood. We just have to keep going because we're in the neighborhood. It's a real interview. Okay.
Yeah. Sure
it's garbage
is.
Day. Of course it's garbage day. Are you happy for his successes?
Yes. There are some things that are brought up when he gets to do theater, when he gets to go back to New York. That's when it's hard for me. Mm. That's when I'm having a hard time.
Two days ago.
Oh, yeah.
What?
2 days ago, the nominations were announced. Mm-hmm. And I got to hear the nominees the night before because I'm hosting this year. And I came back very excited and told David all that I knew and the nominees. And I was expecting him to be equally as enthusiastic about that. And in turn, and understandably, it just sort of bummed him out. Because
put me through a shame spiral.
I'm getting to go to New York and do lots of theater and be doing that, and he's, you know, in LA with the kids doing not that.
But that raises the question of, can it be depressing if one person's career is doing this and yours is not?
When we met, we were both doing Broadway shows in New York.
Yeah.
And it was a real high point. And then I got here in Los Angeles thinking, oh, I'm gonna get a TV show, I'm gonna get a movie, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen for me. And I went into a pretty severe depression about it all.
So is that why you went off to Le Cordon Bleu?
Yes, it was. I was frustrated with business.
Mm-hmm.
I was frustrated with not getting jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I'm not happy in my life, and you make your own happiness, mm-hmm. you make your own joy, and I need to do something that's gonna fulfill me. And that was really special to me, especially being in this town.
Yeah.
I have something. I still have something. It's still a skill. Yeah. It's never gonna go away.
Where do you feel most yourself?
Oh, being a dad.
Yeah, being
For
a dad.
For sure, being a dad.
Really?
I feel like out of all these things that I do a lot of things. I do a lot of things, but not a lot of things great.
Uh-huh.
But I think I do... Parenting.
You're a great dad.
It's hard. It's not only hard being two actors in a relationship, but also being two men in a relationship.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
And we share a wardrobe, and we share, we're both Geminis.
You're same size, same shoe size.
Yeah.
But we don't really share underwear.
That's true. We draw the line somewhere.
We draw the line somewhere.
But I think the interesting point of that is that we're so similar in so many ways that then when career things are in different trajectories at different times,
love that word, trajectory.
It makes it more, it seems like it's more significant.
When you weren't happy in your life, did it make for an unhappy relationship?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, were you taking that out in the relationship? Was that reflected in the relationship?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in the acting industry is, it's so... difficult, and there's so much rejection on every level Los Angeles is a town where you're just never quite enough. You get the audition, you get the callback, but you don't get the job. You get the job, and then you get recast. The pilot goes, but then it doesn't end up going to network. Yeah. Or you get an Emmy nomination, but you don't win. Or you can go to the Vanity Fair party, but not Madonna's after party. Like, there's always a level that you can't quite
that's
reach.
That's funny. That's
and
true.
And so then when you're in your own head about it, it all spirals. It all combines.
Do you realize how profound that was? That was brilliant. Because it's true. This town is a reflection of the internal psyche that I think everybody holds. Mm. Is, am I good enough? Mm. That's the bottom line fear of every single person's problem in the world. And this town just reflects it back to you with, you know, on
true.
A big screen.
Yeah,
on a big
so
screen.
True.
Do you feel pressure to make this work because, literally, the eyes of the world are upon you?
I do.
You do?
Because people have made us role models, which we don't want to be role models.
Or poster
parents. But, I mean, you know, God forbid anything does happen.
Yeah.
You know, but it's...
You all haven't even gone down that road. If you were to split, because you couldn't split the kids and
the way that
and
our
sisters
the way that our families, our individual families were brought up, like once you're committed this far into it, I don't think breaking up is an option. It's just managing how to get through it together.
Yeah. But because you will always
the role model thing, I'm very reticent. I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I don't like talking like we are or being seen that way. Like I think we're able to exist. And if people want to look at us, they're welcome to. But if we falter, we do. Like, I always kind of throw up in my mouth when someone talks about behaving as if they were a role model, because I just think that's a little pretentious, because we might not be role models.
Yeah, I'm not in any way saying that you think that you are, but the world is watching. And how do you manage children?
I guess so, yeah.
How do you manage children? You know, there's pages in magazines about who wore what better. And you're talking about three-year-olds?
But luckily, we're removed. We live in the valley.
We've chosen to live in a place that's pretty average.
Very rarely.
Normal things happen here. This is trash pickup day.
But I'll tell you, when our babies were first born, there were cars out front of our house, and there were paparazzi guys that would sort of wait for us to walk the kids or to hang out. And that got under my skin for a minute, but I think... They quickly realized that our lives are pretty stagnant here. And so they weren't getting a lot of interesting shots, but like us walking the dogs. And after they've had shots of us walking the dogs multiple times, then I feel like they kind of
Do you walk
went
the babies?
Away.
I saw the strollers out, the twin strollers.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah,
you guys do the strollers down the street.
Oh, yeah.
What is your dream for your family?
Oh, wow.
Wow. I've never even contemplated that question. I'd hope that we find ourselves in positions where they have the freedom to embrace whatever it is that they're drawn to. I want to provide for them the opportunity to do whatever it is that they want.
Be their own person.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time, we grow up thinking we should be something else.
Yeah.
And wanting to do what you can't.
Yeah. But I think it's so important that we tell these kids that they're their own individual.
Well, I know how extremely private you guys are. So this is really an honor for me to be able to come in and bring cameras and have a look at your life and have this lovely barefooted conversation.
And thank you. It's our pleasure. We've been fans of yours and followed your show and your trajectory for decades.
Well, thank you.
And we are honored that you would include us in your world.
Thank you. Yay!
I'm Oprah Winfrey, and you've been listening to Super Soul Conversations, the podcast. You can follow Super Soul on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me next week for another Super Soul Conversation. Thank you for listening.